Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21 to nothing in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that poor Porzingis!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Our football picks finale begins now. We're glad to have you with us on our final regular program of the year. We mentioned it in the previous two shows, but we also have a special for you on Monday, so we're not done quite yet. After this program's over, we have one more podcast afterward, the Mike Francesa Tribute, which we'll do with all the former mods of the MikeFrancesa.com, Umer, Rollins, Yachts, Timmy Russo, and let's see, is that everybody? And I, the moderator, so that'll be on Monday. We're also going to get some thoughts about the Francesa experience from the Football Picks panel tonight. So that's coming up. Also, and then going back to tonight's show or today's show when you're listening, we're going to do some NFL stuff first, and then we're going to do our bowl preview tonight. We have a new version of Skype that got installed against my will, so hold on to your hats. I don't know how we're going to be able to get everybody on board and see how that goes. Well, we'll see. Well, I guess we'll find out in a minute. I guess, because I want to... Oh, we got to... Now, how do I... Shoot. How do I add this guy? See, here we go. How do I... Yikes. I'm trying to... Oh, I hate when they get a new version of Skype. No idea how they make this thing work. So, all right, we worked that out. Gosh, that was a disaster. Man, this new version of Skype is just a complete joke. Anyway, let's get right to it. We've got the bowls coming up. We've got the NFL to recap. So this is the last week of the contest. Junkman is going to be our guest picker. He'll send the picks via the text tonight. And lots of things on the table. NFL chases abound. You've got the bowl preview. So and then we've got this contest. Everything is on the line in our last week of this program. I'm sorry, in our last week of this contest. Let's hit it! Football picks, week number 16, the final week, a bittersweet moment for all of us here on the show. So let's recap last week's action. Andy in Seattle went 1-1, I went 1-1, and John went 1-1 for a three-way first place tie for last week. Ron in New Jersey was 0-2 in his two NFL picks, and our guest picker John in Stanford went 1-1. So that brings us the standings. Everybody's still right in it. Other than John. Sorry, John. But the top three is still in it. Andy's 24-2. Ron is 29-26-1. Dave is 28-27-1, and John is 20-34-2. So that's your contest as of the moment. Guest picks are 33-21-2. Another great year for guest pickers. So, like bullpenning for guest picks, I guess. But that's the story right now. And we'll start with the NFL first as we bring everybody back onto the program. And we'll introduce them one by one. We'll begin with Ron in New Jersey. Welcome back, Ron. How's it going tonight?
Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm doing a little better now. I mean, just a rough start with the Skype being thrown on me. But other than that, good. Last week of Mike Francesa, you know, two more shows tomorrow and Friday. It's kind of bittersweet. We'll get into more than that at the end of the show. But you know, it's gonna be different, right? It's gonna be, you know, I don't even know
it's
what's
the
gonna
end
happen.
Of an era.
Yeah, it really is.
You know. 30 years is a long time to be at the top of any profession, especially in entertainment. So, you know, people outside of New York obviously don't get it, but to us guys who listen every day, it's definitely a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll see all the love as we go through those next two shows. Let's also introduce Andy in Seattle to the program. Andy, welcome back. How's it going tonight? And your thoughts on the last two dub shows? We'll do more of this in the end of the show, but initial thoughts on that.
It'll be strange, but I guess, you know, he'll rise again in a 4 to 6 months, whatever it will be, whether it's podcast format or, as Ron mentioned this morning, maybe on the NFL Network, whatever, wherever it is, it'll be interesting, and I'm sure it'll be good. And in the meantime, there's Hi, My Name is Craig Carton's podcast to fill the void. So, you know, things are looking up.
Yeah, I guess. Good job out of you calling in today, though. I wasn't sure if it was easy to get through, but I heard you're on the air today, so good stuff.
Yeah, that'll probably be the last one. I don't. On Friday, it'll be just Mongo Central, so I'll probably just listen and laugh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's gonna like you said, like everyone was saying, it's gonna be definitely the end of an era. Let's also bring in John. John, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. Yeah, I mean, I caught Francesa this morning on Good Morning Football. I watch the show every morning. It's a good alternative to what is it, Wingo and Golic. That show is just as bad as Mike and Mike. But Good Morning Football is actually a really good show. And if they replaced Peter Schrager with Francesa, that show, it would go up 10 notches in my book.
Wow.
It's already a good show. Schrager's the worst analyst on there, but get Francesa on there and it would win all the awards. But yeah, it was pretty interesting for sure.
That was a good spot. I mean, Mike really was having a good time with the crew, and he was giving a gentle ribbing to all the guys, like I think Nate Burleson and Schrager and that other guy that I don't know at the end of the table I'm not familiar with. And then Kay Adams like was just kind of staring most of the time. But it was a fun – it looked like a good group. I've never seen that show before, and it probably never will. It's on at like 3 in the morning out here, so I'll probably never see it.
Well, yeah, for your time, yeah, it's really early for you. I mean, you could catch the replay, but – you know, kind of not the same thing, but it's a really good, they have a lot of like funny segments, but it's an informative show too. So I like it a lot. It's much better than the, like I said, that Drek on ESPN too.
Right. No question about it. So, onward, let's talk about NFL last week.
Yeah. And Kay Adams is, she's good to look at. So
yes.
That's definitely a selling point. Juicy.
Oh man. Where was she before? She was at NBC before or something? I wasn't sure exactly where. But...
She was on like she NBC Sports used to have a fantasy football show.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to be on like the SNY version of Boston. There's like a Patriot show she was on. She used to date Danny Amendola. But I never watched a fantasy show on NBC Sports, but I followed her on the Twitter. And, yeah, that's about it, I guess.
right on. So back to Ron, let's talk about last week's action. I mean, we, you know, the, let's, where do you even start? I mean, it was a pretty good week of football. I think that, Rams Eagles game lived up to the billing. Unfortunately for the Eagles, they lose Carson Wentz in that win. Yikes. That was rough. But, the Steelers, yeah, whatever with the Ravens, but they won the game, and other stuff happened in football. Oh yeah, you know what? Let's go back to Thursday. That the Saints Falcons game was pretty good. It was a good game, even though there were a lot of mistakes and a lot of clownsmanship in that one. But good game. So that was it in a nutshell. Let's get your thoughts on last week's NFL.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, you hit on probably the three best games. Ravens-Steelers was definitely, an exciting game going down to the wire. I mean, you could have called the Steelers coming back in the fourth quarter a mile away with Joe Flacco at the helm. He's not, doesn't exactly exude confidence in the fourth quarter of football games. And you're right, Saints-Falcons was entertaining, as was the Eagles and Rams. And, you know, it is a shame that Wentz is out. Foles isn't good, but I don't think he is the worst thing in the world for that team. You know, he's got experience there in that system. He had flashes on Sunday of being okay. But, you know, I would rather him than, you know, stuff I see, you know, out there now where, you know, somebody said they should sign Eli Manning. You know, the Giants should cut Eli Manning and the Eagles should sign him, or they should sign Kaepernick. I mean, just roll with Foles and see how it goes
you know, they're probably going to be a one or two seed in the playoffs and have at least one home game. So they have that going for them. And I'll tell you, I listen to Philly radio station. I could pick it up here by the Jersey Shore. So I was listening to it Monday morning, and you would have thought that that the Pope got assassinated, or the president. Well, people might be happy if Trump got killed, but you know, it was the same tone as you know, America when JFK was assassinated. I mean, they had on doctors who likened it to someone battling cancer. You know, they had I swear to God, they had special guests calling in to give their predictions on how bad his ACL sprain was. I mean, it was you know, they're a special breed down there. So that was definitely interesting. You know, and their worst fears were confirmed when, you know, they said he was out for the year. Besides those games, I mean, you had the Patriots basically laying an egg, you know, Monday night against the Dolphins. And the Dolphins always play them tough in Miami, so I don't think it was that big of a shock. And, yeah, I did see something that, you know, was probably kind of right. You know, come week 15, 16, 17 with the Patriots, it seems like every year that Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. And he's being discussed for possible openings coming up. It seems like he takes a couple weeks off at the end of the year, and Monday night certainly seemed like that because they usually play better statistically without Gronkowski, and you could just tell they weren't in sync, and Jay Cutler was you know, it was one game a year where he actually looked good, and now everybody's back on the bandwagon, like Andy says. So. You know, that was another interesting game to take away from last weekend. And, yeah, I think those are the main ones. Besides that, yeah, the Bengals who looked tough the week before against the Steelers absolutely lay an egg against the Bears in a game that should have sealed Marvin Lewis's fate. He shouldn't have come home with the team, but the Bengals are the Bengals, and that's what happens to them. And you had the Browns being the Browns, too. The game almost won in overtime. Up by 10 or whatever in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they still can't hold it together. But, you know, like Andy says, watch out for them. Next year's the year with the Browns, right? So, but, yeah, it was definitely an interesting week in the NFL.
There were some good games, and it really was pretty tight in many of these spots. And we'll go to Andy. More thoughts on NFL last week.
Yeah, salty ending to that Saints-Falcons game. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like you bet on the ass clown, he screws it up. You bet against the ass clown, he has a good game, and he drove him down to around like the 20-yard line or whatever. And I was actually watching the game with my dad down in Texas, and I was just like, anything but a pick. You're in field goal range, anything but a pick. And I think it was on second down, he threw a pick, double coverage. You know, he's short. You might not be able to see, you know, through the line, but it's a bad throw and classic ending. You know, Flat Ryan throwing three picks, still winning. I don't think the Saints scored in the fourth quarter at all, maybe even in the third quarter. It was just a bad ending. The Falcons handed that game to them, and they couldn't do it. That Ram-Eagle game, yeah, you know, the drive where Wentz hurt himself, the Rams basically self-destructed. I think there was the penalty on the 52-yard field goal, extended that drive. There's another penalty on third down. It seemed like the Rams had all the momentum when they blocked the punt for a touchdown, and then they basically imploded. That last drive that the Rams had, I think they went 3-and-out. That was a little surprising. They had been moving the ball pretty well for the most part throughout the game. So, you know, that just makes this week's game against Seattle that much more bigly, especially, you know, both teams lost. It's almost like a loser leaves town type of game next in a couple of days. But I thought L.A. was going to pull it out against the Eagles. The Patriot game, yeah, disappointing. I'm waiting for the hot takes. Are the Patriots regretting trading Jimmy G because Brady looked so bad on Monday? Is this the beginning of the end for Brady? Maybe if he does it for four or five games in a row, but not after one. You know, he's under 500 his career against Miami. They didn't play very well. Their defense seemed to have a couple blown coverages. They have no pass rush on Cutler. A couple sacks here and there. Miami had some really strong pressure on Brady. You know, Brady doesn't like any sort of pressure. They didn't really make any sort of adjustments on the offensive line. So that just makes this game against Pittsburgh pretty interesting, too. And then, you know, there's a lot of fun, entertaining games. The early slate, I actually didn't get to watch too many of the games on Sunday. I was just doing stuff with my dad. So I really can't comment, but that's about it for me.
All right, let's go to John for your NFL recap.
All right, yeah. I mean, it was looking bleak. As Ron said, the Packers were down not just 10 points. It was 21-7 entering the fourth quarter, and they were completely just dominated in every phase of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And for whatever, something clicked, and, you know, say what you will about, I mean, I've run on Twitter rants about Brett Hundley, but you know what? I'll give him credit. I mean, he definitely has improved since he started his time as the quarterback filling in about 7 weeks ago. And he was had a 3-4 record as a starter and really could have won that Pittsburgh game too. And he's been pretty clutch in these games. So give him credit. They get the win, and now Rodgers can return, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, he's medically cleared. He's not going to play any differently. I've seen people say, oh, you know, is Rodgers going to play any different? No, he's medically cleared by the doctor. He's going to play the same way he's going to play. And if he gets injured again, he gets injured again. I mean, that's football. So we'll see what happens. They got to run the table again. But the Packers, they certainly gave themselves a chance with that comeback win in Cleveland on Sunday, which, honestly, it would have been completely embarrassing for them to lose that game. So I'm glad, you know, even if the Packers lose in Carolina this week, we can at least say that they did not lose to the Browns, which is good. You know, that snow game was just incredible. How about Vinatieri making that extra point from like 40 yards in that blizzard? Like, he hooked it in, like, he off his leg. You're like, oh my God, there's no way that's good. And then he used the wind and the snow to hook it back in. That was one of the greatest kicks I've ever seen. And then the Bills are down to their third quarterback, and they somehow win the game. So that was just a wild game. You love to see like one game a year like that, like a blizzard snow type of game. So that was really interesting. And the Bills are right alive in the playoff race. The Raiders Chiefs game. I mean, the Raiders, they just completely just did not show up in that game. Just absolutely disgraceful performance, really, against a Chiefs defense that had just been cut to ribbons, to use a Francesa-ism, over the last month, and they literally could do nothing against the Chiefs defense. Until it was garbage time in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I don't know what's happened to Derek Carr, because, you know, he was great last year. And this year, I mean, it just has not had a good season. And this game was just a microcosm of that, because they were just awful. And now you have a huge game on Saturday between the Chiefs and the Chargers, first place in the AFC West on the line. Don't know where to go with that one, but that'll be a really, really fun game to watch. Especially the Chargers are just playing great football right now, especially their defense. I mean, you knew the Redskins had no chance on Sunday with their patchwork offensive line to block those guys. So, you know, we'll see if they can put together another great performance like that in Kansas City and take control of the division. The Panthers come up with a huge win against the Vikings, and surprisingly, the Vikings defense was completely gashed by Jonathan Stewart, of all people. You would have thought that. You know, the Vikings came back, and they had a chance at the end, after a turnover, to take the lead at 28-24, could only settle for a field goal. And then Cam Newton has a huge run on a read option play and ends up, scoring a touchdown on that drive, and that was the end of it. Case Keenum still played pretty well. We're kind of waiting for him to revert to, you know, who we think Case Keenum is, but he still had a pretty good game. I know he had a couple of interceptions, but they really weren't his fault if you kind of saw the highlights. So, you know, he's still in there, and we'll see what happens as the Vikings look to wrap up the division with one more win. And they should do that against the Bengals this week. And then the other game to mention was that Jaguars-Seahawks game. You guys covered the Rams-Eagles pretty well. The Jaguars-Seahawks, it was kind of how you expected, 3-0 at halftime, two good defenses kind of just grinding it out. And then all of a sudden, the Jaguars offense just explodes in the fourth quarter. And then Wilson's finding wide open guys against the Jaguars secondary. But that was just a huge win for Jacksonville, because they're still, you know, in play here for a first round bye. And like I've said on the show here, they have the best defense in the NFL. And if they could somehow get in the playoffs, and they're going to be in the playoffs, so if they can get a bye, and if Bortles can play like he has been the last couple weeks, I mean, they're as dangerous as anybody, because they haven't really had to rely on Fournette. He's kind of dinged up, and teams have been stacking the box, and Bortles has been playing well. So we'll see what happens. But the Jags are definitely a good-looking team as we head into the last 3 weeks of the season. And then the Monday night game, you know, like we've said, Amy Cutler's good for one game a year when he just shows you how tantalizing his talent is, and then the rest of the year he just plays like garbage. But you would expect the Patriots to bounce back pretty bigly after a game like that. They usually hardly ever – I can't remember the last time they've lost two in a row. I would be a little concerned. I mean, it didn't even look like Brady was aiming at his receivers half the time when he was throwing the ball. Maybe it was that because it was all the pressure he was under, but he did not look good. But, again, don't expect that to see that two games in a row. We'll go with the Dilfer hot takes if we see two games out of him like that. But don't expect to see that this Sunday.
I'll do one more before we go into this week's games. And Jimmy Garoppolo for the 49ers is causing really unprecedented optimism in the Bay Area. I know some friends who are 49er fans, and, man, they are just going gaga over this guy. He came back, led the 49ers back to a comeback win over the Bears. I mean, not a high-scoring game by any means, but then another game where they beat the Texans at Houston. So that's pretty crazy. Both of these wins are on the road, and they will follow that up in their next game, which they will play at home. Now let's get to this week's picks. I mean, this week's games before you do the picks. Featured games this week. Well, you mentioned some of these teams already, John. I mean, the Green Bay Packers and the Carolina Panthers will be playing against one another in that one. You've got the Rams and Seahawks, big divisional battle. And the Seahawks are right back in it. You guys caught that a little bit, too, because, you know, it looked like for a moment that the Rams were going to wrap up the division. But losing that game to Philadelphia really made things more interesting. And so we'll see what that game brings. Patriots and Steelers, big preview, possible playoff preview, a lot of stuff going on. And much like everyone else, one would expect that the Patriots would play a lot better in this one. And the Steelers certainly will help them to that end with their defense sometimes always letting teams in games, whatever. But and then the aforementioned 49ers are at home. They play the Tennessee Titans, who have fallen on some hard times themselves. Mariota not looking good this year. So we'll see if Garoppolo can bring it at home. That'll be an interesting game, just from that standpoint. So let's go to the panel. We go back to Ron, and let's get your look at this week's games.
Yeah, you know, Dave, to me, Saturday night could be a fun game with the Chiefs and Raiders. Big divisional game. Or the Chiefs and Chargers, I'm sorry. Big divisional game, really for the control of the division going forward. And I love the Saturday games. You know, once college football ends, you know, I think it's great that the NFL does that. Gives you some juice on an otherwise, you know, boring Saturday during the holiday season. So I'm all for that. And yeah, there's the big game on Sunday, the Pats and the Steelers. You know, as bad as the Patriots looked Monday night, you know, they usually turn it around the next week. And I could definitely see them doing that again this week. Should be a high-scoring game. Should be a fun game to watch. Besides that, yeah, you have the Packers trying to hold on for dear life against the Panthers. And I know Rodgers was cleared. I'm not sure if he's playing this Sunday or not. I'm sure John knows better than I do. But
But either way, that should be an interesting game. The Panthers, you know, in my opinion, are a product of their schedule. I know they've had some decent wins, but man, they play down to their competition as much as they play up to their competition. So I think that should be a close competitive game. Besides that, yeah, the Saints should roll over the Jets by 30 or 40 points. And yeah, like you said, you know, it is interesting to see Garoppolo in San Francisco and the way he's played the past couple weeks. Tennessee looks like they're going in the opposite direction. So that should be an interesting game to watch and see if the 49ers can keep rolling.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
And then, of course, you have the Thursday night game, which should just be outlawed on TV. It should be one of those social media only games, the Broncos and the Colts. And I mean, God bless whoever wants to tune in and watch that. But that's my thought on that.
Yeah, game. Yeah, no, that's true. That Thursday night must miss. I think. Oh, geez. I mean, I think our friend John, a.k.a. Yachts, brought that up on Twitter. That's funny. So let's go to AD. Let's get your look at, you know, anything else you wanted to add as far as this week's matchups.
Yeah, I'm gaga for that Saturday night game. Saturday is going to be a fun day out here, knock on wood. I mean, you've got opening day of the College Bowls sprinkled in, maybe do a little holiday shopping. And then you've got I don't even know what the first game is. I think the Bears are involved, so screw that. But the Saturday night game, Chargers and Chiefs in Kansas City, you know, maybe get a little cold weather. I don't think there'll be any snow, but, you know, be a good scene out in Kansas City. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs. I'm sorry, I'll be rooting for the Chargers. You know, they've had a roller coaster of a season starting out 0-4, and now they've got all sorts of magic. Their defense has come together. Their offense is staying healthy for the most part, knock on wood. And it's a big game. Definitely a loser leaves town. And another loser leaves town that we just mentioned is Rams Seahawks, because it's basically Lure Lang for the Seahawks. If the Seahawks win, then they have the tiebreaker with the Rams for the division, because they would have beat them two games, both games, as the fucking Bruins tie it up with a minute 26 left, classic Red Wings. And then, but if they lose, then all of a sudden, now the Seahawks, they're on the short end of the stick with a bunch of teams from a tiebreaker standpoint, because Atlanta beat them, Green Bay beat them in the beginning of the year. Dallas is now in the mix because Dallas and Seattle play next week, I think. And so, and then they're 8-6, and then you're fighting for a wild card with a bunch of teams that have the edge from a tie-breaking standpoint. So Seattle, like, it's sink or swim for them for the most part in a couple days. And the Steeler-Pats game, we'll probably talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, you mentioned San Francisco. It's funny, Garoppolo, they might be playing their way out of a good draft pick if he keeps it up. You know, they were on pace at one point to go like 2-14, and you know, now they might end up something like 5-11, and that'll affect their draft. Speaking of the Browns, you know, I saw a little headline this morning on ESPN. It's like, Browns are getting ready for a stacked draft. Like, okay, again, we'll see.
Can't make it up, Andy. So let's now go to John and get any additional thoughts from this week. Anything else you want to add, John?
No, you guys mentioned the big games there. I saw about the Browns, you know, John Dorsey, should his first move be trading for Alex Smith? How about no? I mean, I know that, like, you know, that would be I guess, solidify your quarterback position for maybe a year, but it's just, what's the point of that? I mean, just, if you don't think Kaiser is good enough, you're going to have the number one pick. You have your choice of any quarter. Just keep taking quarterbacks until you get one. The way rookie contracts are structured now, you can afford to, you know, it's not like when Sam Bradford got $100 million from the Rams to not even, before he even threw a pass. I mean, it's not like that anymore. Just keep taking draft picks. Keep taking quarterbacks at number one. Eventually you'll hit on someone. But, yeah, I thought that was funny. That was like, oh, that should be the first splash move he makes, which I don't know about that. But that's for this week. Yeah, you guys covered all the games. It kind of stinks that bowl season starts on Saturday, because Thursday night would have been a perfect time to watch, like, Troy, North Texas, New Orleans Bowl instead of this garbage Colts and Broncos. I mean, that's just as bad as it gets. I mean, I don't even, you know, I kind of get why they scheduled the game before the season. With, you know, the Broncos are always a competitive team, and the Colts, you know, how about Andrew Luck? So, okay, I mean, it's a good, and it's, of course, how many times are they going to mention Peyton Manning in this game as he played for both teams? I have a drink every time they say Peyton Manning might be dead by halftime. But other than that, I mean, you guys pretty much mentioned all the games. I'll have a couple picks, obviously, of some of these big matchups. It's been interesting. All these teams, I mean, there's so much, so many teams still alive here for playoff positioning. It's crazy, especially in the NFC, where it seems like every week the teams that need to win keep winning. But they're all going to play each other for the most part. So it'll be pretty clear in about a week or so, heading into week 17, I'd say.
Yeah, these playoffs are shaping up to be really good. So when we come back in January, I look forward to getting into some of those playoff matchups. And it is kind of, it really does hurt from a, it really is a bump, I should say. It really hurts the Eagles to lose Wentz. I mean, that just almost crushes the NFC playoffs, because that would have been really exciting. It was the most complete Eagle team I could remember in at least 15 years. I mean, that team looked pretty good. So it'll be a challenge for sure, trying to do it with Nick Foles. But we will see if that comes up with some success. So let's go to picks. And we had a three-way tie for first. So let's go back to John, and we'll go to you first for the NFL selections. John, when you're ready to go.
Wow. All right. I'll take the year. We'll try to finish stronger. So game one, we will take the Vikings minus 10 against the Bengals. You can just kind of tell the Bengals and then Sunday against the Bears, just completely no show. They're Super Bowl Monday night.
Yeah, losing John. John, you're kind of breaking up there. Let me pause this for a sec. John, are you there still? Hello? He kind of faded into the night. John? Hello? John? We have lost John. Is everybody else with us? Andy? It's that kind of night.
Yeah.
It's that kind of
night.
Yeah,
I'm here.
All right. I am going to then switch this up, because I think we lost John. So let me just come back and let's go to, I guess I'll go to my picks then. Let's get this quickly out of the way. Okay, here we go. The Dave picks. I did not even hear what John's first pick was. I have no idea who that was. I guess we'll go to mine.
Those Vikings.
Vikings. Okay, okay. Yeah, yep. All right. I'll put that down. But onward to the Dave picks while I reconnect John. We're going to go with the Chiefs for game number one against the Chargers. The Chiefs have looked terrible, I'm not going to lie. And the Chargers have looked pretty good. But, you know, it's kind of like what John in Stanford says. You know, just right when about the point you start trusting the Chargers, that's when they start to have their biggest letdown. And so I worry that this is going to happen again with the with the Chargers. So we're going to see how that goes, and we'll take that. Game number two, we're going to go Patriots minus 3 versus the Steelers. I'm going to reconnect John rather than explain it. But to repeat, Chiefs plus 1.5 and Patriots minus 3 for the week number 15 NFL picks. Okay. So let me get John back, and while we do that, I will go to you, Andy, and we're ready for your week number 15 picks.
Well, thanks, Dave. Game number one, I'm going to take a checker on a checker with you, although I think you're being a little dubious here. Fuck! The fucking Bruins, man, overtime, they pissed me off. That's classic fucking Red Wings. All three of the goals they gave up were so fucking scrummy. You fucking shitless sack. Sack of shit, whatever it is. God fucking damn it. Fuck.
Oh my.
Anyway, that fucking sucks. And then they play the Capitals tomorrow. Capitals are going to lose. God damn it, overtime. Anyway, game one, we're gonna take the Patriots. Dave, I think you're trying to reverse mush the Steelers, but whatever the case is, I just think the Patriots will bounce back. The Steelers have been letting teams just kind of go up and down the field, especially in the first half. They let Hundley look like Montana. They let Dalton look really good for a half a couple Mondays ago. And they let Flacco look unflaccid for a decent portion of Sunday's game. So I think Brady will bounce back. They'll run the ball. Gronkowski will be back. Expect an offensive show. And I think the Patriots will eventually find their way against the Steelers. So give me Pats -3. Game number one. Game number two, we're going to take another road team. We're going to take Dallas giving 3 at Oakland. We're going to borrow John of Connecticut's theory of a dead team. I know we thought the Denver Broncos were a dead team last week, but apparently they came back to life against the Jets. I think the Raiders are a completely dead team. Their defense stinks. Carr's regressed. Their coach might have just been living off all that currency he gained opening day last year when they went for 2 against the Saints, and then they basically catapulted themselves to a pretty good season until Carr broke his leg. This year was supposed to be more of the same, and they just really haven't been able to get anything going. Cooper's been a disaster. Marshawn Lynch is old. Like I said, they're just a dead team. The Cowboys have an eye on a postseason position. This will be the last game before Elliott comes back. If you want to be in the postseason, you have to beat this atrocious dead team by 3. So give me the Cowboys giving 3 for game number 2. Checker on a checker with Dave with the Patriots -3, game number 1. Getting late.
All right. Thanks very much, Andy. Let's go back to John. John, are you with us?
Can you hear me, Dave?
Yep. I can hear you fine. I did not hear what your pick was, so we'll let you start again from the top. So whenever you're ready.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I was just talking, and then all of a sudden you were like, oh, I can't hear you anymore. And I could hear you guys fine, so I don't know. Technology for you. But all right. So I was saying Vikings -10 for the first pick. It was the Bengals Super Bowl 2 weeks ago against the Steelers. And after they fell apart in that game, and then they did just quit on the year. And, the Vikings are going to rebound after that loss in Carolina. I don't see how the Bengals are going to score more than 10 points in this game. I mean, the Vikings defense is one of the best in the NFL, and coming off a loss against a dead Bengals team, they should roll on this one. So Vikings -10 for game one, and then game two, I mean, the line is just screaming at you in this game. The San Francisco 49ers, who are 3-10, are 2-point favorites over the Tennessee Titans, who are 8-5. I mean, that just tells you all you need to know. And like you mentioned earlier, they're just killing their draft stock by putting Garoppolo in there. But he's looked pretty good. And the Titans, I mean, they just really struggled all year long. I mean, yeah, they're an 8-5 team in record only. I think they have like a negative 30-point differential. I mean, they're just not really that good. And Mariota is kind of all dinged up. He's regressed. And like I said, the line just is screaming at you to take the Niners here. So I will gladly do it. 49ers -2. In addition to Vikings -10 are the picks for week 15.
Thanks, John. And let's now go to Ron in New Jersey for his NFL picks. And Ron, ready to go when you are.
Yeah, first game, Dave, I'm going to do a checker on a checker with Checker. And I'm going to take the Vikings -10. I think the Bengals are a dead team as well. And game number two, I'm going to go with the Lions -5 at home on Sunday against the Bears. I think the Bears shot their load last week. The Lions still have something to play for. Trubisky isn't that good. The Bears ran into an absolutely dead Bengals team last week and killed them. And I like the Lions -5 at home on Saturday.
All right,
those are my two picks.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Thank you very much, Ron. And fellas, good luck to those picks. Let's now go to the guest picks from Kevin on the Cape. Let's do it. Here we go. So we'll go quickly. His first game from Kevin on the Cape is Packers plus two at the Panthers. Second game is the Jets plus 15. Wow. I didn't know it was this large of a line.
Bad pick.
I guess time will, you're, no, we'll see how it goes for the Jets at the Saints. So again, Packers plus two, Jets plus 15 for Kevin on the Cape. So that'll do it for the NFL. Let's now get to the College Bowl preview. Don't be sad. Yeah. Now that's excitement right there, guys. Look at that. We are starting this bowl season. And you know, Saturday is going to be a busy day. That's when the bowl season begins. It's busy because you got the college football, you got the NFL, and you got college basketball all at the same time. That's nuts. Like, I don't remember if that was the case before. No, I guess it was. I remember there was an NFL game last year on that first Saturday of the bowl season.
Yeah, the Jets played last year. I think it was like a Jets-Dolphins game or something last year.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was the Jets were in the mix. There you go. So let's get to it. I mean, the way we start this bowl preview, we'll basically send it down the panel. Give us the bowls, other than the Big Six, other than the New Year's Six, give us the bowls that interest you, and give us the bowls that you wouldn't want played in your backyard, and we'll go from there. So we'll go back to Ron, and we start with you. Which bowls of the non-New Year's Six are you looking forward to, and which ones would you not want to see if they were playing in your bedroom?
Well, Dave, before I do that, can I speak about I haven't been on the show in the past couple of weeks. Can I speak about the Tennessee coaching search real quick?
Absolutely, yes.
I'll make it quick. So they hired this guy Pruitt, who is the defensive coordinator for Alabama, and when it came down, I was reading Twitter, and you had guys like Kirk Herbstreit and Finebaum and the likes of, the SEC, water carrying type of guys saying it was a great selection. And, they might have done bad, footballing the whole Schiano thing and, losing out on their top eight candidates. But they got a winner, Jeremy Pruitt, and he's going to turn the program around. And they got so much talent to work with that, watch out for him next year. And great hire and blah, 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 blah. I felt like I was in fucking like I was in a bizarre world for a little bit. Because you say what you want about Schiano. 10 years ago, Schiano was leading Rutgers to being a top 10 team. Besides the fact that he's probably a huge scumbag in real life and a pretty shitty coach, at least he had a resume 10 years ago. And you look at the other guys who they wanted, they had a pretty good resume 10 years ago. They were in programs, helping build up programs 10 years ago. Jeremy Pruitt 10 years ago, was on MTV's Two-A-Days, which followed, a high school football team in Georgia. It was basically, Hard Knocks before Hard Knocks. Set to MTV emo music, and he wasn't even the head coach. He was the defensive coordinator on an MTV show, and he was best known from that MTV show for being a prick to the kids, calling them pussies when they had a bad practice. And the other thing he was known for on that show was not knowing what asparagus was. Having never heard of it, thought somebody, a kid was lying when he said that it was his favorite vegetable. When Andy talks about ooga booga coaches and brick coaches, Jeremy Pruitt is the quintessential ooga booga brick coach. I know we haven't seen much of him because he's been a defensive coordinator for Alabama, which, I'm Dave, me, you, Andy, John, we could all be a defensive coordinator for Alabama when you have, 10 of the 12, 10 of the 11 starters are probably going to be first-round NFL draft picks. So he hasn't even been a college assistant for that long. I think for the past maybe 3 or 4 years he was a college assistant with Florida State and then Alabama. So how these guys call it a home run pick is beyond me. Beyond me. And I guarantee you this, and, you know, Gamble can call it. I'm calling it Gamble style. Jeremy Pruitt will not get to a fourth year at Tennessee. He may go to a bowl with Tennessee. He will flame out spectacularly, like we have seen with Butch Jones and Derek Dooley and everybody else since Philip Fulmer. I mean, I just, you know, that's my take on Tennessee. I just wanted to get that out there because I felt like I was in some, you know, alternate universe where Jeremy Pruitt is like the 15th choice and people are praising it like Tennessee found a hidden gem under a rock. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, this is a guy 10 years removed from an MTV show. So that's my take on that. But, you know, they'll be in the top 25 preseason next year, all the talent in the world, you know, just the same old bullshit as ever. But I wanted to talk to you about that.
Ron, the Bulls, one more thing, though, before we get to the Bulls. I could not even imagine what you thought about the Arizona State Sun Devils getting Herm Edwards, of all people, to be their coach. So your thoughts on that?
Good Lord. I mean, where do you start? You know, seeing, I guess Arizona State looked at Illinois and saw how good the Lovie Smith experiment is going, and told themselves, man, we need to get an ex NFL head coach in here immediately. I mean, Todd Graham wasn't bad, was he? I mean, he's gone to bowl games. He's won 7 or 8 games. I mean, that's the ceiling at Arizona State, right? I mean, they're not going to be a national contender. So they kick him out the door and they bring in Herm fucking Edwards. I mean, how old is the guy? He's pushing 65, 70 years old.
I believe so.
He's been out of college.
Yeah.
Has he ever coached college?
That his last coaching gig was like 30 years ago at San Jose State.
Can I just get one comment on this? His last coaching job was college coaching job was 30 years ago. And they said the whole idea of bringing somebody in like that was so they had such great coordinators that they could keep them. The freaking defensive coordinator just resigned the other day. So much for that idea.
Wow.
And to top that off, John, I just saw before that they were in discussions with the Texas Tech defensive coordinator to take over. So that's,
Jesus.
Definitely, if you want to fill a defensive coordinator position, look to those stalwarts at Texas Tech. I mean, what a comedy of errors. He's another one. Give him 2 or 3 years, and he'll be back on ESPN speaking sternly into the camera, telling the NFL players what they should and shouldn't be doing. Oh, my God, what a disaster. What a fucking disaster. But, you know, teams like that will never learn, I guess, you know. We have records of guys coming from the NFL and doing a shitty job because they've been out of the game for so long, and they just don't listen. I don't know.
Can't make it up. You really can't. So, thanks for sharing that, Ron. Let's now commence with the bowl preview. Any of these bowls looking good to you?
I'll tell you a game that doesn't interest me in the least bit. A couple of them, Dave. I'll start with that. number one, Florida State and Southern Miss. It's a fucking sham that FSU is playing in a bowl game. They had to reschedule a hurricane delayed game with I think it was Louisiana Monroe for December just to get bowl eligible. Jimbo Fisher, you know, unceremoniously negotiates with Texas A&M, probably been negotiating with them for months. Their quarterback is hurt. I mean, they're not a good team this year, decimated by injuries. Why they even wanted to get to a bowl game just to say that they have a 30-year streak is utter bullshit. So, you know, good for them that they got paired up with a shitty team like Southern Miss. You couldn't pay me enough to watch that game. That game, I love Northwestern, but Northwestern Kentucky, Jesus, I mean, that just does nothing to, you know, for me. And the other one that is rough to watch, and I know BC has played pretty well down the stretch, but BC and Iowa in the Pinstripe Bowl is just, I mean, the definition of vanilla and bland and, you know, 10-6, 13-10. I mean, the ceiling for that game is probably, what, 17-14? I mean, so those are a couple that I wouldn't watch. You know, a couple ones that I guess you could pay attention to. There's actually, you know, a few good games. Oregon-Boise State isn't bad. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Oregon responds, you know, with the elevation of Mario Cristobal to head coach. I think that game's on Saturday in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. 12:30, or 3:30 your time.
Yeah, so that's a good one to get into early on in bowl season. You know, two high-scoring offenses there. And actually, another one that caught my eye, Dave, is TCU and Stanford. You know, I know we always bust Stanford's balls, but they've actually been a pretty entertaining offensive team the past couple of years. And TCU always makes things interesting. So, I mean, I know if last year or the year before, I probably would have said I have no interest in that game. But, you know, I got to give David Shaw credit. He's opened it up the past couple of years, and Bryce Love is pretty fun to watch. So, you know, so that should be a good one. Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that jump off the top of my head, and you know, I look forward to hearing what John and Andy have to say.
Yeah, and I'm going to add also the KJ Costello's play in the last 3 weeks. That's been a very nice promotion for Stanford. And I think they just need to stay with him assuming he's going to be there next year. But really, good job out of him the last few weeks. Even though they lost that Pac-12 championship to USC, certainly had some moments there. So that's an interesting call, John. I mean, Ron. Okay, let's go to Andy and let's get your thoughts on the bowls you like, but more importantly, the bowls you wouldn't watch in your backyard too.
Yeah, you might have to all funhouse me at some point, but yeah, BC Iowa, you can't watch that game. I think we all agree on that, but yeah. It was funny. Yeah, I hate BC with a passion. You know, I went to UMass and BC kids are always spoiled and elitist, and their fans are all super fans. You know, they beat their basketball team, upset Duke the other day, and it's just all these ding dongs just storming the court. Anyway, my dad was like, did EJ Perry get in it all for BC? I'm like, EJ Perry? I was like, what do you mean? Who the heck's EJ Perry? He's like, you didn't follow EJ Perry? He's like, he went to Andover High. That's the high school I went to, Andover High. He's like, he was a star at Andover. He tied Doug Flutie's son's record for touchdown passes. When I went to high school, the quarterback threw like 8 times a game. And things have obviously changed now. Everyone does the spread. Anyway, the backup quarterback is this kid named EJ Perry, and he's probably going to start next year. So I guess I'll have to kind of root for him a little bit because he went to my high school. But I don't think he'll get in this bowl game. That game's just atrocious. The Pinstripe Bowl just never seems to get entertaining teams. I don't know what the reasoning is behind that. And it's in New York, you know, the Northeast just doesn't really have a strong fixture in college football. You know, UConn had a good thing going for a while, but, it's hard to kind of keep it continue. You know, Rutgers had a good thing going for a while. You know, they were kind of like Penn State 2.0. It's just tough. You know, Iowa, you know, even the diehard Iowa fans, I kind of find it hard pressed to think they're all going to, you know, load up the minivan and drive to Yankee Stadium, you know, 2 days after Christmas to check out the game. But I don't know. We'll see. It's just a bad game. Some other games that I wouldn't, if Josh Allen doesn't play in the Potato Bowl, then I won't watch Wyoming Central Michigan. If, like I said, they were playing in my TV room and I was chained to my couch, I wouldn't watch that one. The games on Saturday, I kind of wish the Vegas Bowl was at night. I'm pretty sure they used to have it at night. The New Orleans Bowl used to be at night. For whatever reason, that's in the day. I'm trying to highlight some of these games that are interesting outside the Big Six. And, you know, I'm sure I'll get into them. I mean, I love the bowls. Like, I think Washington State, Michigan State has some potential. I think Leach has... You don't know what you're going to get with Leach in a bowl game. I remember like 4 years ago, they had an utter collapse against I think it was against Colorado State in the New Mexico Bowl. They completely cooked it. I think they were up like 10 or 14 with like 3 minutes left and lost the game. And then a couple years ago, they had a great game in the snow of all places, the Sun Bowl in El Paso, Washington State, Miami. That was a fun game in the snow. And they beat a pretty good Miami team. And last year they laid an egg against Minnesota. You really don't know what you're going to get against Washington State. But that Holiday Bowl has some potential for sure. I worry about certain teams with high-profile NFL prospects. You know, last year you saw a lot of teams just sit out their stars. Injury concerns and things of that nature, and we'll find out if last year was like a harbinger of things to come and becomes like a trend, or if it was just like an aberration and maybe this year you won't see so many stars sit out to quote-unquote jeopardize their status. But it works the other way around. Like established guys can sit out. They don't want to play a quote-unquote exhibition game. Like, you don't want to play the Foster Farms Bowl. You don't want to get injured and miss getting drafted high. But then again, there could be a fringe player where no one's really paid attention to, and you have a great Cactus Bowl, and all of a sudden Todd McShay and the other guy are going gaga for you because you had a great game in, you know, the Quick Lane Bowl or whatever. So, you know, teach their own. We'll see what happens, I guess. I think the Birmingham Bowl between South Florida and Texas Tech could be one of those whoever has the ball last wins. You know, South Florida, they have some lofty goals to start the season. You know, a lot of people, ourselves included, had South Florida as a potential team to run the table. Obviously, Central Florida was a team that, you know, got the job done in that conference. But South Florida's got some talent, and they're playing a team that, you know, as we all know, doesn't respect defense. South Florida doesn't play that much defense either. So you could see a similar game there like we saw a couple weeks ago in that Memphis Central Florida game where, you know, final score was like 49-42 or something like that. And then Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, I think the Camping World Bowl has some potential. You know, Oklahoma State, they kind of ended the season on a down note. You know, they kind of blew that game against Oklahoma down the stretch. So you question how motivated they'll be. Virginia Tech, you know, this is Fuente year two. They had some good moments. They had some bad moments, but that's a pretty entertaining game, all things considered. A game that I guess I wouldn't watch in addition to that Yankee Pinstripe Bowl. You know, Ohio UAB, that's a tough watch, the Bahamas Bowl. On December 22nd. Oh, another game that I guess would be cool is the Frisco Bowl, which used to be the Miami Beach Bowl, between La Tech and SMU. Those are basically two teams that are like mirror images of one each other. I know Chad Morris is no longer the coach at SMU. He took the Arkansas job. I think that they replaced him with Sonny Dykes or something like that. I feel like they basically replaced Chad Morris with the old version of Chad Morris, you know, Sonny Dykes was like a leech guy. He might have even coached Louisiana Tech, too, once upon a time. So it's basically like a mirror image bowl, if you ask me. But as we get closer to Saturday and as Christmas rolls around, I will definitely be into all these games, including I always try to get into that Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. You know, I'll have dinner with the family, but that game will always be on in the background, too.
Good times. I will throw in a few nuggets about the Frisco Bowl. Like you mentioned, it's a takeover of the of a bowl that used to be played at the Miami ballpark. And Frisco is not San Francisco, just to make that clear to the audience. It's a suburb of Dallas. And the Frisco Bowl is being played at an MLS stadium that looks really tiny. Like, I saw it, and I saw some pictures of it, and it looks like it seats about, I don't know, like 15,000 people. It's very, very small, this stadium. So it's actually going to be very interesting to watch that. As you mentioned, the matchup looks pretty good, too. And if I had like unlimited money, I would certainly consider flying out there to check it out. It looks like a very interesting idea for a bowl. So let's go to John and let's get your bowl previews for the pre New Year Six bowls.
Yeah, I mean, Andy and Ron covered a lot there. You know, I'll preface it by saying, yeah, I wouldn't watch it in my backyard, but I am going to watch it if it was in my backyard because, you know, we do the Bowl Mania pool and all the other things, and you have hypothetical wagers on it. So we'll be into the games for sure, even though some of them are really bad on paper. I mean, Iowa and BC has already been mentioned, so I won't go there. But, you know, Ron brings up the Florida State Southern Miss game, and I agree. I mean, that's just a complete dud of a matchup. But this could have been fixed so easily if you switched you switched the Florida Atlantic Akron matchup. So you made Florida State play Florida Atlantic. I mean, that'd be a heck of a game. And then you had Akron Southern Miss would be dreadful, but at least that'd be an evenly matched game. Have you guys seen the spread for this Akron Florida Atlantic game? It's 23.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen a spread that big in a bowl game. I mean, that's just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I know they're playing it on their home campus basically, but I mean, you got to figure the bowl organizers would have, you know, before they sent out the invitations, they should have said, is this going to be a 4-touchdown favorite in a bowl game? And that's just, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I mean, I've seen 10, you know, 10-point favorites, maybe 2-touchdown favorites if there's been some injuries, but 23 points in a bowl game, that is just insane. So if, you know, if you're doing the confidence pools, it'd be pretty hard to see Florida Atlantic lose in that game. But alas, we'll move on here, but, yeah, some other ones here. Yeah, Duke, Northern Illinois, and the Quick Lane Bowl. I mean, that is just dreadful. Duke barely got bowl eligible by winning the last two games. I mean, good for them for doing that. But the reward is playing a MAC team the day after Christmas, and that just doesn't really do much of anything for you. I read a lot of the different articles about, you know, from sports writers saying what bowls they want to watch, and they all mention this Arizona-Purdue game, and I just don't understand the hype for this one. I mean, Purdue is okay. They had a nice season. They clearly are on the right track with their new coach Jeff Brohm, but they're still a 6-6 Big Ten team. I mean, I don't get the excitement over this game. Okay, Arizona has an exciting player with Khalil Tate, and he had some great games, but they really faltered down the stretch. And they're all, oh, can't wait to watch this Arizona Purdue game. Actually, you can, because I mean, that's just not really a good matchup. I don't get it. Virginia and Navy, that's a pretty rough watch. I mean, Navy, I think they lost 5 out of their last 6 games. Virginia just kind of snuck into a bowl. 2 6-6 teams. Although I will say about this game, it's in Annapolis, so that'll be a full stadium because obviously it's Navy's home stadium and Virginia is right there. So at least get a good atmosphere with that game. So that's a pretty bad one. Let's see. Now, on the other flip side of that, some good games. San Diego State-Army, that's a very underrated matchup. San Diego State, 10 wins. Only 2 losses were back-to-back weeks between, I think it was in October, to Boise and Fresno State, the 2 teams that played in the Mountain West title game. Otherwise, if they had gone undefeated, there was no way UCF, I don't think, would have jumped them because they were ranked early in the year once San Diego State beat those 2 Pac-10 teams. But they didn't, but still a very good matchup with a resurgent Army team. So that should be a really fun game. Andy mentioned the Texas Tech-South Florida game. Points of plenty in that one. same with the SMU La Tech game. And the interesting thing about that one, you know, Dave, you mentioned the stadium. They play the FCS championship game in that stadium. So it's not new to hosting a football game. And it should be, honestly, for these bowl games, they should look to host it in smaller stadiums. It just looks better on TV. You have 20,000 people in a 20,000-seat stadium versus 20,000 people in a 80,000-seat stadium. And it looks awful. So I think they should look more towards those scenarios. And then there was one other game I wanted to mention. You guys mentioned all the Stanford, TCU, Washington State, Michigan State, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State. That's a nice three-game stretch there on the 28th. And there was one other game here that was pretty good. Oh, yeah, Appalachian State and Toledo. These two played in a bowl game last year. I believe it was the Camellia Bowl, and they played a great, down to the wire, like last second game. And I'd expect that again here in the Dollar General Bowl. They just switched bowl games, switched locations this year, but they played each other in the bowl last year, so that should be a pretty good one. So overall, I mean, if you just look on paper, there's not really a lot of mismatches. The game I mentioned, the Akron Florida Atlantic game, clearly is a mismatch, and then the Florida State Southern Miss game is clearly a mismatch. So I really wish they would have switched those opponents. But in any event, other than those two, on paper, I mean, these games are really evenly matched in terms of the spreads and really could go any way, which makes – I think we're going to get an exciting bowl season in terms of just the closeness of these games, and hopefully we'll have some exciting finishes.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like one of the better groupings of matchups that I've seen in quite some time. Like, in over the last 5 years, this seems to be the most consistent group of matchups, because a lot of these games, I was just going through it myself, I'm like – yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. I don't know who wins this one either. There are a lot of fairly even matchups in the bowl schedule this year, so it's pretty good. Let's now look at the New Year's Six. And here they are. It starts with the Cotton Bowl on the 29th from Arlington. The one would be Rose Bowl, but if not for the usage in the college football playoff, and that would be USC Ohio State. It's intriguing. It's something we've kind of wondered, like, what would Ohio State do against USC and vice versa? It should be interesting. Granted, I realize that Ohio State versus, say, or even USC versus, like, Auburn would have been really fun. Like, the fun factor would have been increased a lot, I think, if it was those two teams. But I think everybody wanted that Pac-12 Big Ten matchup, so there it is in Dallas. Next is the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Washington. That seems like a good game. I don't know how good Washington is lately. Ganey might be able to share some of that. Next after that is the Orange Bowl. This is probably the dud of the group because you've got Wisconsin versus Miami, and Miami is really, really faded lately, so I don't know what to expect in that one. It shall be interesting to follow and see if Miami might have one more run in them. If you may remember from last year, Miami went and they played West Virginia, and Miami absolutely crushed that team. I don't know if it was West Virginia, but Miami completely dominated that game. And I think with a month to prepare, things may work out a little better for the Hurricanes this time around. So, that'll be interesting to take a look at later. Peach Bowl is up after that on the 1st of January, so the first of the New Year's Bowls. Auburn, UCF. Interesting. So Scott Frost is going to coach that game. That'll be a fun test. We'll see if Central Florida can provide a test to Auburn. And Auburn, for a moment, looked like they were going to be in the national title, in the playoff, and didn't happen because Georgia took care of them. And speaking of which, Georgia starts our playoff action in the Rose Bowl against number 2 Oklahoma, so the 2-3 matchup there. And at night, we have number 1 Clemson and number 4 Alabama in a rematch of last year's championship game, the Sugar Bowl, for the second playoff game. So the New Year's Six looks really good this year, except for that Wisconsin game. So let's go back to Ron. Let's get your preview of the New Year's Six.
Yeah, Dave, I think you're 100% right on. They're all interesting games. I think Miami and Wisconsin is probably the least interesting of the bunch, just because, I think Wisconsin has been overrated all year. Same with Miami. They beat up on some pretty bad teams. That win against Notre Dame doesn't look as good today as it did at the time. You could point that game out. The rest of the New Year's Six bowls, I think, are
you know, pretty stacked. Penn State and Washington can get really interesting. Same thing with USC and Ohio State, two teams who always seem to play an entertaining game, you know, in the bowls, you know, last year, notwithstanding for Ohio State getting crushed by Clemson. But that's a good matchup still. UCF and Auburn is still interesting to see how UCF responds to Scott Frost and to see if they can keep up with an SEC team. I think they've been probably the most entertaining team to watch in America this year. So, you know, that gives you a reason to tune in there. And the two semifinals, I mean, the only nitpick I can give to those is that, you know, I would have rather Alabama been 3 and Georgia been 4. So you would at least set up for a possible Clemson-Alabama part 3 in the final. But, you know, as it is, I can't complain. Two very entertaining games. They should be. Good matchups, at least on paper. You know, I think I like Oklahoma over Georgia. Oklahoma has been, you know, fun to watch all year. You know, ever since that loss to Iowa State, and I mean, Iowa State was playing, you know, above their heads for a while there during the middle of the season. And that was a Friday night game in Iowa State. So, I mean, take away that game, Oklahoma's pretty much been the most consistent team in the country all year. And, you know, Clemson, you could say the same thing about them. They lost that Friday night game to Syracuse. I'm sorry, Oklahoma, that wasn't a Friday night game. It was Clemson who lost the Friday night game to Syracuse. But that's a tougher matchup, Clemson and Alabama. I mean, I really can't call that one. I could see it going either way, but I tend to give Alabama the edge in that one just because, you know, Kelly Bryant's not Deshaun Watson, and I know their defense is better this year than it's probably been the past couple of years, but Watson was the X factor in both the previous 2 years against Alabama, and Kelly Bryant's been, I guess, solid, but not spectacular, and he's definitely not Deshaun Watson. So I would give Alabama the edge in that game and say that the national titles are going to come down to Oklahoma and Alabama.
Look at that. Wow. That's going to be and the thing with Bama is that they have a month to prepare, and they're going to be getting some guys back from injury too. So you definitely can see that. That's going to be very fun to follow once we get to the playoffs. So, let's go to Andy and let's get your New Year's Six thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any concrete thoughts here because I haven't really done Francesa-esque homework, but I can just kind of ramble for a few seconds. You know, no offense, the Ohio State-USC game, I mean, it's like they put a dress and put some perfume on a couple of turds, and it's just two turds in disguise in this bowl. No offense. I mean, USC is just too up and down for me. But this will probably be Darnold's last game, so he should be enthused and motivated to put on a nice show. Ohio State, just way too Jekyll and Hyde for me this year. You know, laying an egg against Oklahoma in the beginning of the year. Their last game against Michigan, they were down 14-0. They didn't really look all that impressive. And Michigan basically couldn't do anything with O'Korn at quarterback, and they were still kind of hanging around. The game was in the balance in the fourth quarter. So I know they're two legendary schools, but, Dave, you're right. It would be a lot more fun, in my opinion, if USC and Auburn were playing, and, you know, maybe Ohio State-Miami could have played, you know, like a rematch of that national championship game like 15 years ago. Miami, Wisconsin, you know, next. But I think you might be right. Miami might be ready to go. Wisconsin, you know, they had their moment in the sun a couple weeks ago on that Saturday night in front of the whole country. And take away that pick six, they weren't really too exciting to watch. a little heartburn here. Penn State, Washington. Yeah, that should be exciting. It should be entertaining. Washington, they hit on all cylinders against Washington State in the Apple Cup. The weather was pretty atrocious. So probably favored the Huskies a little bit more because they are a little more balanced with their offense. They run and they throw a little more pro style. Washington State, they just like to dink and dunk, spread them out. And so the weather is probably a little more factor for their offense. But Washington should be motivated. We're not a big Peterson fan, but one thing that he does consistently well is he does get his players to be focused, whereas, some other coaches in bowl games, the motivation might be a little more of an issue. Speaking of motivation, that Auburn Central Florida game, Frost is definitely impressing people by doing a double duty situation, recruiting for Nebraska and coaching Central Florida. So good for him. And then with Auburn, you got to question their motivation because they were so close to getting into the playoff, only to come up short against Georgia. So now you do have to take into consideration their motivation. As we know, certain schools can lay eggs in these big games because although they are big games, they're not the playoff. Alabama, for instance, they lost to Utah about 5 or 6 years ago in the Sugar Bowl. They weren't playing for the national championship. Alabama, again, against Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl, nothing on the line, and they laid an egg. So that's something to consider if you're going to take Auburn in that game. I think Central Florida definitely has a chip on their shoulder, and I'll definitely be leaning in their direction when it comes to gambling. The Georgia-Oklahoma game, that's definitely a clash of styles. You wonder if we all know Oklahoma's weak link this year was defense, but usually those Big 12 schools score through the air. As we all know, Georgia has two running backs, and they just pound you. So maybe Georgia will have long, clock-consuming drives. But even that instance, Oklahoma can still score in 90 seconds anyway, so I'm not sure if that will really force Oklahoma into any sort of get outside their comfort zone. They will still be able to score rather quickly, but you do wonder if Oklahoma's front can handle Georgia's running game. I'm definitely looking forward to that game even more than the Alabama-Clemson game, to be honest. With the Alabama-Clemson game, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And I think that basically covers my nonsensical lectures on these bowl games.
All right, sounds good. Let's go to John, and you get your New Year's Six thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, not much to add on to everything. I agree with everyone. By far, the least intriguing game is the Miami-Wisconsin game. It might actually end up being a pretty close competitive game just because of Wisconsin's style of play, and I don't think they're going to overwhelm Miami at either line of scrimmage. So I think it'll be a pretty close game, but this might be a little boring, and two teams kind of coming in on down notes. It just makes for a pretty less than stellar matchup. Washington, Penn State, I really don't know what to expect with this one. Penn State, they had those two games against Michigan State and Ohio State where, if they'd hold on to the lead against Ohio State, they're most likely in the playoffs, which is crazy to think about. And they kind of, blew out the teams at the end of the year after that. So you don't know what you're going to get from them in this game. Same thing with Washington. I mean, they laid two complete eggs this year at Arizona State and then at Stanford. Other than that, they've been pretty solid. So that's a pretty unpredictable game. Don't know where to go with that one. So, again, should be very competitive. USC, Ohio State, I was pretty surprised to see Ohio State favored by a touchdown in this game. I mean, if you watch that Big Ten championship game, I mean, JT Barrett could barely move in that game. And you figure USC is a pretty talented squad. And, you know, if Darnold is on his game, I mean, this should be really close. You know, you'll figure, you know, there won't be really much of a letdown for USC to be there. Compared to Ohio State, they might be a little bummed that they weren't selected for the college football playoff. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, and it's interesting how they switched all the projections saw this game being at the Fiesta Bowl, but since Ohio State had played in that bowl two years in a row, they didn't want to send them there again. So they switched the USC-Ohio State game to the Cotton Bowl, and then Washington and Penn State goes to the Fiesta. So that was an interesting decision. And then, of course, you have UCF-Auburn. You know, Auburn, again, if they hadn't played the SEC title game, they're in the playoff. So it's just like the extra data point just killed them. I mean, they beat Bama and Georgia, both of the teams in the playoff, and they lose to Georgia once, and now they're out again. So that's kind of crazy when you really think about it in that way. But so, again, the motivation factor, will they be motivated to play UCF? And especially, you got to watch again if their running backs are injured and really not playing. You saw what that did to them in the SEC title game. Keep an eye on that. Obviously, UCF will be happy to be there. I read that they already sold out their allotment of tickets, so they're going to be well represented. Certainly, we'll expect them to play a good game and for us to try to send them out on a high note. I don't know if we'll win, but certainly the spread right now is 10. I think I would definitely lean towards UCF in that game. And then the two playoff matchups. I mean, the only bad thing you could say about this one is that the Sugar Bowl is slated to start at 8:45 Eastern, and you know it's not going to start at 8:45 Eastern. I mean, that's like a 9:15 kickoff. And for those of us who have to work the next day on the East Coast, that's a little rough. So we'll certainly be into it. Two toss-ups. I agree with Oklahoma winning the first game. I just think their offense is just too dynamic right now. I know their defense is a little weak, especially coming out of the Big 12, but I just don't, you know, Mayfield is just, he's on another level right now. Obviously the Heisman Trophy winner in the last month of the season, last 6 really, just really impressive stuff. And I think they'll beat Georgia. The other game is more of a toss up to me. Obviously Bama will be more healthy after this layoff, and giving Saban that kind of time to prepare usually does not work out well for the other team. But then again, Clemson's defense has just been amazing this season, better than last year. So we'll see. That's a complete toss-up in my mind. I don't know how I'll take to win that one. My heart says Clemson. My head right now might lean towards Alabama, but again, it could change by game time. So two great semifinals, and really, other than, like you said, other than the Wisconsin-Miami game, five, you know, really intriguing matchups on paper.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Maybe the most stacked New Year's Six to date, if you think about it. So let's get to the picks, guys, and we will begin. Let's go to John again. John, we are ready for your two bowl picks for the 2017-2018 bowl season.
All right, Dave, we'll make it quick. We already mentioned this one, the Dollar General Bowl. We'll take Appalachian State getting the 8 points versus Toledo. This is kind of like the Group of Five showcase game between the Sun Belt and the MAC. And like I said, they played in a bowl game last year, and it came down to the wire. I don't see any reason why it's not going to happen here. Maybe Appalachian State is a tad, not a tad worse than last year, but still, I think just 8 points is way too much for two teams who won their conference. Toledo especially, you know, they have a really good team, but you could see that they were run on by Ohio towards the end of the season in that late-season action game. I think App State can kind of muster the same game plan, and they're a very well-coached team. So just way too many points for these two teams. Give me App State +8 in the Dollar General Bowl for the first pick. In the second game, we're going to go to the Liberty Bowl. It's interesting. A lot of teams have home games and their bowl games this year, and this is another one. I'll take Memphis -3.5 against Iowa State playing at home. We'll send out Riley Ferguson on a good note. The Ferguson to Miller connection, which destroyed teams all year long in the AAC. Their only two losses, as I mentioned before, were to UCF. Otherwise, they'd be playing in the New Year's Six. I think it's going to be a little bit too much for Iowa State, who, you know, they had a surprisingly great season. I mean, they beat Oklahoma. They were ranked, 15th in the country at one point, but kind of faded a little bit towards the end of the year, and I think this is going to be a tough game for them. Playing in Memphis' home stadium against that offense, a little too much. Great season for them, but I think Ferguson and Miller will close their careers out on a high note. Memphis -3.5 for game two, and then Appalachian State +8 are the bowl picks for the 2017-2018 bowl season.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks for the picks. Now let's go to my picks. And once again, I'll be very swift. Here we go. Game number one from the very large slate of bowl games this year. We go with Navy +1 against Virginia in the Military Bowl. And just like John was saying, a lot of teams with bowl games at home. And Florida Atlantic is one. You have the game that he just mentioned with Memphis in the Independence Bowl. And Navy's another example of this in Annapolis. Look at that. So we'll go on the strength of that. It's hard to really evaluate a game like this, but I do think that given the choice, I'd probably go with the quote-unquote home team. So that's game number one. Game number two, Arizona -3.5 against Purdue in the Foster Farms Bowl with the attendance of like 300. And then it really boils down to this. Can Purdue keep up with Khalil Tate, assuming he plays? And the answer is no. So I just think that's going to be enough to carry the Wildcats over the top. So to repeat, Navy +1, Arizona -3.5 for the 17-18 bowl season. Now we go to Andy in Seattle, and your chance to seal this contest. Let's give it to you for the bowl picks, Andy.
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's how fast time flies. It feels like yesterday we were taking games late summer, week one, and we're watching Army-Navy in the snow. It's crazy. But I'm not – you also took Navy, and I was going to take Navy, but it's I got to divert. I mean, I love Navy. I know you're supposed to bet against triple option teams when teams have had 3 weeks to prepare, but except when the coach is named Bronco. But I'm going to change that because I don't want to take two checker on the checkers with you. Give me 1 second here. So I'll take Alabama giving 2.5 to Clemson. I don't really have any objective reasoning. They've said hello twice now in January. This is a big playoff scenario. But I think what you mentioned, you guys have mentioned earlier, Saban is in the lab, getting ready to get a hopefully decent game plan. This is not Deshaun Watson. This is Kelly Bryant. The defense for Alabama was all banged up in November in the Iron Bowl, so hopefully they're healthy now. The running game should be firing on all cylinders, and it's time to see Jalen Hurts have a good game throwing the ball. He really hasn't had to do that this year, and if anything, he kind of, if you look at his stats this year as opposed to last year, they weren't really improved by any stretch of the imagination. So he doesn't really have to air it out, but he might have to this time, or at least make a couple throws on third down. I think in the national championship game last year they were like ridiculously woeful on third down. So you're going to have to improve that this year if you want to get to the championship game. I think they will. It's a very public line. I mean, obviously Clemson was the one seed and Alabama's giving 2.5. So it's like Tiger Woods, his odds against the Masters. But, I'm jumping in the trap. Give me Bama -2.5. Game number two, I don't know what the line is. I think it's 7, Dave. You can confirm it, but I'm just going on the fly here. I'm going to take San Diego State against Army. This should be a quick game because both teams run the ball. Army actually never, never, never throws the ball, but we know San Diego State likes to run as well. So this game should be your antithesis of a Big 12 4.5-hour game. It should be pretty quick. I'm going to take San Diego State, even though I know Army's had a great year. Beating Navy for a second year in a row, getting to a bowl game, all these good things. But I think San Diego State, once they go up, if they go up a couple scores, then Army is just kind of in dire straits because they can't throw the ball and they'll just get discombobulated. So I'll take San Diego State. I think they're giving 7.
Yep. I confirmed that via VegasInsider.com. So thanks for the pick, Sandy. So good stuff. Let's round it out with Ron in New Jersey's bull picks. Ron, we're ready for you when you are.
Make it quick, Dave. I'm going to take West Virginia plus 6.5 against Utah in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. I think West Virginia can actually win that game outright. They're playing it in essentially one of their biggest recruiting battlegrounds there in Texas. With the Big 12, I think West Virginia will show up and want to impress possible recruits. So I'll take them in game one. And game two, I'm going to go with Oklahoma plus 2 against Georgia in the semifinal. I think Oklahoma can win outright. I'm riding with them. I really do think they've been the most consistent team this year in the country. So those are my two picks.
All right, thanks, thanks, Ron. Now I'll give you Junkie's guest picks. He is going to go with both semifinal games as his pick. So let's get them here. Junkman begins with the Rose Bowl, and in the Rose Bowl, he's going to go checker and a checker with Ron, and he goes Oklahoma plus 2. In the Sugar Bowl, he will go the other way and go head to head with Andy. He will select Clemson plus 2.5 against Alabama. Now, an interesting comment. Junkman was a little more confident in Clemson than the rest of us. He felt like they were going to win 30-10. So now, I don't know about that, but those are the picks once again. Clemson plus 2.5 and Oklahoma plus 2 for Kevin on the Cape to round out the contest this year. So that's all we've got tonight. Guys, I'll give it to you for final thoughts, which include final thoughts on the Francesa experience. And I'll tell you this, guys. Mike Francesa is the guy who brought all of us together. And I don't think there's any debate about that. We all met on the MikeFrancesa.com, a website devoted to chronicling and poking fun at the Mike Francesa show on FAN. And it's really been a great ride. And I know that even though it, I know there's the rumbling that I want the board to end. I don't. It's just... That's a funny meme. But it's really neat that we all got together and we met. And I really hope we can keep it going however we can and whatever form it may be. And I do think the TMF.com can factor into that. So final thoughts, we will start with Ron in New Jersey.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be bittersweet on Friday. I guess it's eased by the fact that Mike keeps alluding to the fact that he's going to be somewhere else very soon or as soon as he can be. Yeah, you're 100% right, Dave. Growing up here in the Northeast in the Tri-State area, I mean, it's almost a rite of passage to have listened to Mike and the Mad Dog and, you know, now Mike. And definitely, I mean, you know, I got to thank him just for the fact that, you know, yeah, we all came together because the board. And I don't know how I'd get through work, to be honest with you, without the board. I know I'm a bad American and should be focusing more on being more productive at work, according to some of the guys on there. But it's absolutely been fun following along with them and the evolution from, pretty bare knuckle message board to what it is now. I mean, you have Mongo Nation on Twitter and you have the board, you know, still with its core group of guys. For someone who has no social media accounts and no social media presence like Mike, the fact that he has such a large internet following across all aspects of social media is a testament to, the generation that he influenced here the past 30 years. So, yeah, it'll be bittersweet. It'll definitely be weird on Monday, but, I mean, we've been through, you know, the holidays without Mike, where he usually takes off a few weeks. We've been through entire summers without him. So it'll be an adjustment, and hopefully he'll get out there somewhere shortly and we can continue to laugh along at him and with him and keep it going.
Yep. I love it. Great, great sentiments, Ron. Let's go to Andy for your final thoughts.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really have any concrete thoughts, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, the board's great. I don't remember when we started posting, but yeah, I mean, the board has expanded bigly. You know, John had a show because of the board when he did that gambling show with Pitch and Catch, myself and him, and some guests here and there. You had your show with a bunch of board members. You know, we're all on Twitter now. You know, we text about gambling, things of that nature. So, you know, it's all because of Mike and Chris, which is kind of insane if you actually break it down from that standpoint. But, you know, Michael, you know, he's not dying, you know, we don't think, but he'll be back in a different venue, and I'm sure we'll tune into there, you know. I know I troll here and there, and I'll probably, just for giggles, like when that new show starts with Bart and Chris Carlin and the chick, I can definitely see myself being like those anti Mikes, but like anti Carlin, and be like, you know, I can't believe Carlin said it's Tuesday when it's really Wednesday and stuff like that. Like, you know, you want to nitpick, we can nitpick too, but you know, we'll see what happens. Like I think, you know, Mike will surface, and you know, the board will just adjust accordingly. Like, you know, we're all on Twitter. So, you know, Friday will be interesting. I'm trying to set an over under on people who will actually cry on the air when they're talking to Mike. I'm going to set the bar at 8.5. I don't think Mike will cry, but I think we'll get some tears out of some of these guys for sure.
Oh yeah. And I think that's a pretty accurate, total there. So, John, we'll give it to you for final thoughts.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. I mean, Mike brought us all together, and it's really true. So, I mean, we have to thank him for that. I mean, I don't, you know, post as much as, you know, I used to for a variety of reasons, but I mean, you can't deny the impact that it's had on a lot of things. And, you know, like Andy said, I mean, he's not dying. It's just the end of one era, and we'll move to another and see where he resurfaces. But I mean, even, you know, just growing up, you still listen to WFAN. You have to all, you know, really overnight. I used to listen to, you know, Beningo when he was an overnight host, just like falling asleep, you know, just as a kind of like background noise. And then if a big story happened, you had to tune into Mike and Chris at 1 o'clock. And, you know, it's kind of a sad moment. It's almost like the end of, you know, end of like your childhood or that kind of thing, but it just brings back a lot of memories and just kind of sad that, you know, that it's going to end, but we'll see where he resurfaces. And maybe it's going to open up a whole new world. And I guess audience for Mike, and potentially more, you know, funhouse moments wherever he's gonna be on his next adventure. So it's definitely been good times, and like I said, you know, like we've all said, certainly without him, we wouldn't be doing this show and giving our stupid picks and thoughts every week. So it's definitely afforded us that platform, and you know, we're certainly grateful to have all these connections, and you know, we'll take it from here, and we'll see where Mike ends up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and a great place to end it, John. Great thoughts out of all you guys. Good luck to your picks. I won't be hearing from you again until January, so have a great Christmas. Enjoy your Hanukkah as well. That's in progress. Guys, it's been wonderful. Enjoy the holidays. And thanks again for a great contest this year. It continues to be a lot of fun to do. So good luck. Hopefully a good bowl season as well. And we'll be back to break down the championship game. So, guys, take it easy, enjoy, and enjoy your time off too, whatever time off you get. So all the best, guys, and season's greetings.
Happy holidays.
All right, thanks. Happy holidays, right, everyone.
See you guys.
All right, thanks, fellas. All right, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Woo! Thank you. And thanks to you guys. We're not done yet this year. We still got one more show on Monday. It's the big Mike Francesa tribute special. We mentioned it at the top. Join us for that. Meanwhile, enjoy these two shows. We hope you enjoyed the basketball show and tonight's football show. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next time.